So I'm going to talk about a few general principles of bankruptcy, and I'm going to try to use some cases to do that. I have three sets of cases. The first two are two relatively recent Supreme Court cases that lenders should know about. The second two cases talk about this concept of bankruptcy remoteness, which, of course, we all strive for, but as you'll see from the cases, it's devilishly hard to get there. And then finally, I have three cases that talk about cram-down concepts, and of course, that's what all lenders fear about bankruptcy is to be have a new note imposed on you over your objection, which is what cram-down is all about. So if I get this clicker to work correctly, the first case I'm going to talk about... Oop, wrong way. Okay, let's see. Okay. Is Husky International Electronics versus Ritz, a year-old case. And I'm not going to worry about the verbiage here. I think I've got a picture that will walk you through it a little bit more effectively. So we have Husky International providing goods of some kind to Chrysalis. They have a trade relationship. And when the music stops, in this case, Chrysalis files for bankruptcy, Husky is owed $164,000. Now, during about this same time, there's an individual named Ritz, who is both a director and part owner of Chrysalis. He, and how often do you see this in a bankruptcy case, he siphons money out of Chrysalis and feeds it to three other companies that he owns. He just takes the money. No consideration, no reason, other than the fact that, you know, the rats lead the sinking ship first. He knows it's going down, so he grabs the money. And so... the question is, what can Husky do? Husky doesn't have a guarantee from Ritz. At the end of the day, as you'll see, he'll have something better than your bad boy guarantee. And I'll explain that. So what Husky needs to do is impose personal liability on Ritz.